The podcast that you're about to listen to was recorded recently with Ina Farana from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Ina is a patient living with spinal muscular atrophy, and due to her disease, her voice is very weak. We decided to air this podcast because it shows the reality of living with this disease. Many of the key elements of this podcast are provided in the description.
Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. I have SMA type 2, and I am a columnist and forums director for SMANewsToday.com. Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 79. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer. And joining me today is Ina Farana, from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And she has SMA type 3. Ina contributed to, we've done a Monday shout out with her on our Instagram before, and she's also contributed to one of our sister sites, our muscular dystrophy site before, for their 30 days of MD initiative. So I'm really excited to have her on. She's a graphic designer with SMA. So Ina, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. Okay, hi, I'm Ina from Malaysia. I was diagnosed with SMA type 2 first at the age of 2.5 years old. Through a biopsy, it actually started when my parents started to realize that I didn't achieve a normal milestone, just like a normal kid. So from there, they started to go here and there, go to the hospital, check, and found out that I am having SMA.
Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, no, I know we were talking right before recording, like, so I know I said SMA type 3 in there, but it was kind of like, you were kind of like on the borderline there, so it's sort of a like in between 2 and 3, is what they, yeah. So, yeah. Well, thank you. So I'm really excited to talk with you today. Thank you for coming on. And before we get started, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast was brought to you by Genentech, the makers of an FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay. So, Ina, so to start off, like, I know you said a little bit in the intro there, but can you tell listeners just a little bit about yourself and, like you said, when you were diagnosed with SMA and got just a little bit about your story?
Okay, so about me, I'm a graphic designer right now.
Yeah.
I finished a degree in graphic design. I had a younger sister, actually. She was also a SMA patient, but she passed away 8 years ago due to pneumonia. So yeah, it was a very tough moment for me, actually, the past 7-8 years ago. It was really hard, you know, when losing a sibling with SMA. It feels like, yeah, it's a sudden shock for me. You can say that I feel like suddenly I lost someone that I love, someone that I really miss. She was like my best friend.
I'm really sorry to hear that, and I know, yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, you broke up for just a sec. Can you repeat that just about, you were talking about like growing up with SMA?
Oh, yeah, growing up with SMA is actually like very tough.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite hard, but I guess I fully through because of the support from my parents, my siblings, my grandparents, my friends. You know, it was like awesome. I am surrounded with a very kind-hearted people.
Sure, sure. No, I mean, that family support is essential, and I'm really sorry to hear about your sister there. Do you mind if I ask too, did you have any other siblings as well?
No, it's just the two of us. Just, so we are very close.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just like, you know, our best friends share everything, fighting, that's the common thing that siblings does.
Right, right. No, it's for sure a really powerful relationship. Can you talk to a little about when you're growing up, like school life, social life, just in what ways did SMA impact that? Or maybe it didn't. Maybe you just, you know, you kind of just grow up, like, what was kind of your life like growing up in school and that kind of thing?
Okay, school life was quite challenging, especially during primary school.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had to search for a school which is accessible. Back then, back then of course it's not, none of the school was accessible at all. So most of the classes are upstairs. So my parents had to carry me every day, my dad. Mm. My dad will carry me every day to class, you know, and my friends will carry the wheelchair, they will help me. So it's been like going through the whole year of my life. And then when I was in school life, I still use a normal wheelchair. I didn't use the auto wheelchair yet, so I had to ask my friend for help. Mm-hmm. They're just, I think they are very, very good friends. I don't even need them to ask for help. I don't need them. You know, they will just help willingly without asking for help, which is very cool. I'm like, I am grateful to be surrounded with a very awesome and a very kind-hearted person. I didn't know anything about SME until I reached the age of 18 years old. I decided to Google it myself. So then I found out that there's actually like a lot of things to know about. That time also my late sisters started to get admission back and forth to the hospital. So that is why I started to be curious, like, what is this person actually? So from there I started to know more and more.
And see, that's something I'm really curious about too, is like, you know, I mean, I have had primarily Americans on the show before, and so, like, I know well about the American healthcare system, but that's what I'm curious about is, like, if you can talk about that. So you mentioned, A, you had problems with accessibility at school, for one, and then also just getting the proper knowledge and education about SMA. So can you just talk a little bit about that, like, what the healthcare system is like there, and then and I mean, especially now just navigating as an adult with a disability.
Well, okay, in Malaysia we don't have any specific doctor for SMA. SMA is considered as a rare disease since it's 1 in 50 is a caregiver. But then I think it's not rare anymore because once in a week there's a baby born with SMA. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we are categorized as a disabled person, which we have to register with the social welfare department so that we can get all the privilege provided by the government. Mm-hmm. For free, I think. Maybe some of it in the state, but on a very low price. So I also collaborated with the NGO, Intent Trainee, which we started to create awareness to the public. You know, they give help. They gave a little event to the medical practitioners and also to the public. So I guess now we are still getting the attention from them. I also was involved in the booklet Living with SMA in Malaysia. So, you know, by doing that booklet, I guess I made myself know more about SMA through that. I didn't know, as I mentioned, I didn't know anything about SMA before that, but by doing that, I was like, oh, okay, this is like a new info for me, which I can adapt it. How do I adapt it in my life? So I guess I just have to keep on advocating to the public. Of course, the level of public awareness is still low, but I guess I won't give up. Let's just keep on advocating, you know, just do a sharing session. And at the same time, I can also take the opportunity to market my product. You know, like I have my own brand, which is Shantan by Aina. Mm-hmm. So through promoting and also marketing, you know, like 2-in-1 thing. But about the healthcare system, I guess, to know what is the time, especially the new doctors, young doctors. So yeah, I just have to tell them what is the time about, you know, from there, that's the only way.
Well, and I can tell you, even, I mean, in America, it's a experience a lot of times, too, where depending on where you are, the doctors may know nothing about SMA. And, like, often we are the ones that have to educate them. I mean, for me, I'm very fortunate to live near a hospital that has very renowned experts on SMA. And I'm really fortunate there. But I have other friends in different parts of the country that, like, their doctors really know next to nothing. And it's just... it's all a matter of, and like you said, just advocating for yourself and doing that kind of, like, it's a lot of work, but that's ultimately how things improve and how there's more public awareness. And I imagine too, like, because you're pretty active on Instagram and social media, like, have you been able to connect with other SMAers, that other people in the community that way?
Yes, in Malaysia, yes. We sometimes we do gathering, you know, we just meet up with each other and update on each other's life, being like, there are still, not to say a lot, less than 5, you can say, of people, SMA adult living in Malaysia with a caregiver and living it on their own. That's not much. So they live, we call it a personal assistant. So they have their own caregiver, which will be with them. But not more than 5 lot, only a few of them. The rest, we just give it our best.
That's awesome. And in that group, like, and so when did that get started, or when did you become a part of it?
I become part of it when my sister passed away.
Okay.
Eight years ago.
Sure. No, that's awesome. That's really cool to hear, because, I mean, I know that's, I mean, for me, that's what's helped so much, especially as an adult, is, like, connecting with others in the community. And because, like I said, it's like, we're really the ones that know most about it, and, like, we can educate medical professionals and just the public in general. So that's really awesome. Well, thank you. No, that's really fascinating to hear. And so another thing I want to ask you, we mentioned earlier that you are a graphic designer, and I know art is, you know, your primary passion. Can you talk about that? I mean, when you got really interested in it, and just how it evolved into a career.
Okay, so I was introduced into art since childhood. I guess that is just my quality time between my parents, my sister. You know, we just love art and stuff so much. And my grandparents is also a DIY person. He made everything from scratch at his house. So I guess my mom takes from my grandparents, I take from her. So it's like inherited passion. So all of us love art. I can just say that it's like a therapy for all of us. You know, I decided to make art as my career, but after high school life, you know, from there, I'm like, okay, I took diploma for 2 years in diploma interactive design, and then pursued a degree in graphic design. So from there, I guess art will just be my number one career. There's no other option at all. Even though my mom asked me to be a lawyer, I don't want. That's just not me. I just can't. And my dad, why not about, how about engineer? I said like, oh, no, thank you. No, that is still not enough. So I guess I follow my own passion.
That's awesome. I mean, you got to do what you're passionate about. And I love that is something, you know, that you developed a passion for as a child, and it really carried in through your adult years. So that's great. That's great. Well, and I do want to talk about your college experience in just a minute. But before we do, if everyone could listen to another brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A treatment has been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this treatment option a reality. To learn more about this treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing that. That's great that, again, you took that passion and, like, led to your career now. Can you talk to a little bit just about your college experience and what that was? I mean, did you go away for college, or did you stay at home? What was that experience like for you and, you know, pursuing your degree?
Oh, yeah, college life was awesome. Seriously, I love college life because it was, like, my college is just nearby my house. It would take about 20 minutes. So my mom will drop me every day. At that time, I still use a normal WeChat. So my friends will always wait for me at the lobby every day. You know, I don't, they will just like, it's actually a different person every time. It's not the same person. But yeah, I think like, yes, yeah, the college, Last time it was before they renovated, they make the ramp specially for me. They make the this disabled toilet is for me to use. And then when I started my degree at the same college, and then I did a training program with Nottingham Trent University. And then they built a new school hall building, which everywhere is accessible. There's no like steep space. There's no there's a part that you know, everywhere is this easy for me, even from the toilet to the counter to go to the classroom. You don't have to my friends doesn't have to step on the wheelchair anymore and carry. There's nothing else to do. It's just so good. And I guess the college management are very helpful, and even my lecturers are very understanding. You know, when I ask for some extra time, as you know, SMA, we can do things with like we cannot do things for a long time. Like any extra time, they would give. So they are very understanding and very helpful.
That's awesome. That's really, that's amazing that they built ramp for you and everything. I mean, it was really, hear you say that. It's similar to my college experience in that I also lived at home and my campus was about 20 minutes away as well. But similar thing where it was just, I mean, I had a good school experience growing up, but college especially is just so much more liberating and you have that independence. And similar to you, I mean, I had that group of friends who was always there to help me out. And because like, I don't know for you, if you had any kind of, did you have any kind of aid in school growing up, or were you just kind of like, just kind of had friends help you out?
You mean the head of department?
Like in like primary school and like, did the school provide you with like an aid at all, a personal aid, or were to help, like to assist with, you know, like books or anything like that? I don't know if they provide, or did you just kind of like ask for friends whenever you needed help with something?
Not in school, but in college, yes.
In college, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, in college, like, you know, I also went to a field trip with them.
Okay.
And we even travel, which is, I never thought that I could do that. So whenever we have a college trip, field trip to a museum or to a beach for photography sessions and everything, so we all like, they will always help me, bring me, carry me around with the wheelchair and just have fun and enjoy our life. Just like a normal college student.
That's awesome. That's the thing. College is great. I mean, it's, you know, like, but yeah, I was asking that because like in school, I had an aide with me growing up, but then in college, what they did was like, they hired, students to be like my note takers in class. And so I didn't have anyone accompany me, throughout the day. Like I would just, you know, ask friends if I needed help with something or whatever. But that was, we had the disability services office at my university. They provided note takers, which was very helpful for me, but yeah, it's that's really cool though that you had those accommodations, so that's awesome. Yeah, no, college life is the best. Oh, that's great. And so just going back to your career a little bit, so post college, then I know you had what kind of, were you looking for anything specific in terms of graphic design, like what was the process like of job hunting or and all that?
Yeah, I knew that once I graduated, I cannot work outside because the job definitely is not for me. You do have to travel, working with, you know, working hours, office hours is just like a no for me. So I decided to do a freelance.
Yeah.
Which I started my own brand. And then from there, I started to get a client from, I think you could say from all around the state, which is like, they are slowly know about what I do. So they will ask about me to do, what is it called? Commission work.
Mm-hmm.
So I also do exhibition. Yeah. To exhibit my artwork. And then I also teach kids.
Oh, wow.
About art.
That's really cool. Like elementary school kids or?
Kindergarten kids.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
It was them with us. We know when they're childhood, it's just like, it's a good way for them to express their feelings. You know, like through us, you get to express their feelings. So I get to know more about their character, their hobby, they cope with their life, and it's just so awesome to see that they're young at the age of 2.5 years old, also can really well reach the life.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. I mean, and that's the great thing about like a freelancer schedule is like you can set your own schedule and have opportunities like that to do teaching on the side and stuff. So that's really awesome. And that leads to my next question. And that is like, so what is a typical day look like for you when you think about like your typical work day? So, I don't know if it's changed at all with the pandemic, but what is like a typical day of the week look like for you?
So, yes, living with SMA means like living with a body that doesn't want to cooperate with your mind. You know, sometimes you want to do this and more, but your body just doesn't allow it. Of course, I do have like falling behind my work, and yeah, sometimes I try, but I can't do just like normal people do. It keeps me like frustrated, you know, when you can't complete a task which requires a lot of physical activities and energy. So I guess if I had to tell you the hardest part about living with this disease, it's just that the constant battle between the life I envision for myself and the life SMA wants for me. You know, SMA and I are never on the same page. Sometimes we are amicable to one another and like coexist, but on the other days we are just a war. You know, at times, it can feel like, can I control my life? Occupying every moment. And I also have scoliosis, which living with scoliosis is no easy thing. Sometimes it can give me a constant pain and discomfort. But yeah, I guess the family wasn't stopping me from doing my favorite activities. I do went out with my friends. We went for food hunting, traveling, and then hanging out with my family and friends. It does change on how you know, like on certain things, you just have to be considered with yourself. You just have to know your own body. You know, like I have to anticipate it and manage my own body. I guess every day is just a new learning experience as I can go live with them.
No, you're totally right. I mean, it is that like always trying to find that balance, and it's like your mind wants to do one thing, but then your body says, nope, not today. And like, and it's just always like kind of that back and forth. But that, no, that's really cool that you said that. And well, on that note too, thinking about that, do you have any advice for others in the SMA community? Because now that, you know, I mean, you've established your working career and everything else, like what would you say to others in the SMA community?
I would say that life is only as good as you treat. You know, there are going to be bad days. There are going to be a hard time. There are going to be challenges to overcome and mountains to climb. But there is also going to be a room for joy. You just have to choose to remember it that way. You know, don't give up. Don't give up on your life. You just have to have a dream. If you have a dream, just go on and try to achieve it. You know, get what you want. SMA will not stop me from being what I love.
That's great. I love that. Well, Ina, thank you so much for coming on today. This was a great conversation. And before we go, where can people find you? Because I know you have your art and I know you're on Instagram. So where's the best place people can find you?
Oh yeah, you can find me through my Instagram and also Facebook, Aina Farhana, AinaFarhanah, or my Instagram art page, which is Chanteng by Aina. You know, I hope that one day I could market my product internationally, not just the Malaysia, but I just hope that one day everyone will get a piece of my artwork, which is one of my dreams.
I think that's a great dream to have, and I wish you the best luck on it. I hope that happens one day. That's great.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, Ina, thank you so much again. And for our listeners out there, you can find more conversations by subscribing to this podcast. We're all over SoundCloud, Spotify, and you can find us on our main website at smanewstoday.com. You can also check out our YouTube channel and our forums, which is also on the main website, and we'd love to talk with you there. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Take care.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.